So that, just understand that this has been a lot of hours working with a lot of people. I should have mentioned that our teaching staff was integral in developing the schedule. It may not be exactly what they turned into us because we have to also meet the mandate, but it's different than the first one we put out because we had teacher input. We also understand that the schedule is very similar to a budget in that it's going to flow based on actual usage. So we may find that some of the times don't work, some of the instruction doesn't work, and we have to morph it to meet the needs, but we won't know that until we actually start with the students. We are all in a place where this is a new environment for students. This is a new environment for parents. It's a new environment for teachers, new environment for administrators and everybody else. I was saying earlier, probably the only place that it's not a new environment is things like maintenance, where they're fixing schools and they're still fixing schools. And so there's not a lot of change in that particular side. But overall, given where we are, this is the best program that we can put together to meet the mandates as well as meet the needs of our students, as well as not have them in school. So I will talk one last thing and then we'll open it up to anybody who may have questions. Again, Nick, if you can open up the chat so they can, and you'll have to monitor who has questions. Please just write your name so that we can say, you know, Trish Craig has a question, so therefore we'll acknowledge that. What was I going to say? It'll come back to me. So we'll open up the chat to see if anybody has any specific questions that we can try to answer for you. What is our, while we're doing that, what is our plan to get this out? Is that we will send out an email, a phone blast, all of that, to say this is what the plan is, here's where it's located at, please go and read through it. With the teachers, our plan is to meet with each grade level group on Zoom, those that can make it, over a period of the next week to 2 weeks, and answer their questions so that we can lower some of the anxieties that are out there in regarding what does the schedule look like. Not sure we can lower all of the anxieties, but we'll do our best to lower many of them, because we have to remember our teachers are very professional individuals and they will make this work for your children better than it looks like on paper. But we can't really do anything more than what we've already put together. So
are you able to read the question?
So what I'm asking you again is don't write things on chat, because I'm not going to go through and read them all. We won't be able to do it. If you have a question, please say, I have a question. I will start. Will laptops be provided? Yes, they will. What day you're aiming to start the distance learning? That is in the next board agenda, but it's my recommendation that we start August 31st. The board has not ruled on that yet. Will live lessons be recorded and available if we cannot view them live at the time? Yes. Is it still correct that we will be starting in person if we are been off the watch list for 14 days? I'm sorry if this has been addressed, but I jumped down late. There's two options for us. One is when we go off the state watch list, 14 days later, we can start school in some manner. Whether that's a hybrid manner, whether that's all kids in school, is to be determined. But we must be off the state watch list for 14 days. The other piece is there is a waiver available. The waiver is going to be very difficult to get, but it is only geared towards K-6. So in our case, K-5, the 6-8 would not be eligible for the waiver. And that would allow us to bring students back if it was signed off on the 35,000 people that have to sign off on it to get it forward. But the waiver has not come out from the state yet. The process is it comes, the superintendent has to make an application with the waiver. We have to have agreement with our community, our parents' clubs, our labor unions, our board, the county soup, and then we have to have a robust safety plan put in place, and then all of that goes together, letters of support and the robust plan and the application all go to Dr. Liu, who was the health coordinator for Yuba and Sutter, and she is the final sign-off. I don't have a lot of high hopes that that will happen, but we will certainly look at that process when it comes out. We already did that question. How will you handle kids that skipped a grade in math? Example, a seventh grader, but takes eighth grade math. Ange, I'm putting you on the spot.
No, you did, and I'm glad you did. The way that we designed the schedule is all the math teachers are teaching at the same time. So instead of logging into the Google Classroom for the seventh grade teacher, the child will be given the Google Classroom login for the eighth grade teacher. That's why we designed the schedule the way we did.
Thank you. Let's open Jen. I'm sorry, is it Goot?
It's Guy. It's okay.
That's all.
Would the independent study, would the children be able to work ahead of schedule if they can?
Yes.
Okay, so they can do that. And then I know I'm kind of jumping the gun here, but if we do start school in person, will they have to go back to distance learning if we go back on the list?
No. So the way the mandate reads right now is if we go off the list for 14 days and we start back on a program, whether it be a modified day or what it is, even a full day, if we go back, if the county goes back on the watch list, we do not have to go off unless we have a significant number of COVID cases within our schools. So for example, if 5% of the students at Bear River got COVID, not one kid, 5%, then they might close Bear River, but leave the other two open. If 25% of our staff and students had some sort of a COVID, which is not going to happen, but if it did, then they could potentially shut the district back down to distance learning. But that's the only parameter. Once you're on, and you get to stay on unless you have some significant issues. I will remind everybody at last check, between Plymouth Lake and Wheatland, we only had 35 cases of COVID. 47 now? Okay, so it's jumped. But we don't know how many are Plymouth Lake and how many are Wheatland because they combine those numbers. But when you look at the Yuba County numbers, the majority of those are north of Plymouth Lake. We are, you know, have a lower number here. Jen, did you have any more questions? I'm sorry. Nope.
Sorry. The only other question was, if we have to quarantine a classroom, are we going to offer independent study for those kids that have to go in quarantine?
Yes, they would go back on a distance learning model.
With
that particular teacher, assuming the teacher is available to teach it. If not, we would have somebody else doing that. But yes, they would not lose out on their education if they were quarantined.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. You know, just to kind of expand on that question, if a student is quarantined now because they were in the backyard barbecue and their distant cousin had COVID and they're quarantined, they can still participate in any of our programs the way it is. So it really is a matter of the availability. The other thing too is, you know, like if the board does shift the calendar as I'm recommending, and you've already made plans for Thanksgiving week, which now they have to come, they have to be there 2 days a week. Assuming we're not in school, you can do your distance learning from wherever you have Wi-Fi. You don't necessarily have to be in your home to do so. All right, so how does a student who needs art ceramics participate? Ceramics will be very difficult, but art won't be as difficult. I might throw this question over to Ange.
material packets together. So when they do the student pickups, anything that the students would need to participate, because we're kind of doing a blended model. It won't necessarily be ceramics right off the bat. That would be very hard distance learning, but any art materials that they might need for the projects, they would be available for pickup.
All right, so school will be starting August 31st in person. The answer is no, not in person, unless something changes between now and August 31st, but right now it is, again, not been voted on by the board, but if the board approves it, we'll start August 31st in a distance learning program. Casey Jones, if you would like to speak, please.
Hi, yes, I was just wondering, what is the deadline for the independent study application, and is that capped in any way? For example, only the first X number of students can enroll in independent study.
So there's no cap. It will be something that will be opened up probably until the first day of school. We'd like to have it maybe by that Friday so that we know where they're going, because it impacts if a child leaves the distance learning program and they're already slotted into a teacher's classroom and now they're going into the independent study program, it may cause us to have to shift other students. So it probably won't on a one by one basis, but if we had a whole lot of them leave right before school started, it might be a problem, but there's no cap. Did you have any other questions?
No, sir. I also typed my question, though, so you can skip that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Is the watch list for the district for the cases? So the watch list is a state watch list based on counties. For whatever reason, we're lucky or not to be paired up with Sutter County. So Sutter Yuba is one. So let's say we had zero on the Yuba side, we had 5,000 on the Sutter side, we'd still be on the watch list because it is one watch list, but it is a state watch list that has nothing to do with the district. We don't even know, we have no idea who has tested positive, who hasn't. And even if one of our employees or our students test positive, they will not give us that information.
Just so you know, Craig, it's 43 for Plymouth Lake and Wheatland as a guest.
43 for Plymouth Lake and Wheatland. Thank you. So I hope that answers the question. It's a state watch list, not a district watch list. It has nothing to do with our district, because we would make the argument that we should be able to pull out and say how many affect our students in our town. And since we have what I would say would be a low number, we ought to be able to start where maybe they won't, but they don't do it that way. Can we have one child in distance learning and one in home base, but still return to school when it's available? Yes. It is parent choice on which one you go to, and it is parent choice when we come back to school. I just want to make something clear. When we are able to come back to school, whether that be a hybrid model or all kids in school model, the children, the distance learning will slowly disappear, right? Because they're going to have some distance learning if they're on a hybrid model, because the days they're not in school, they're going to have to do some distance learning. The home-based independent study program will run throughout the year, because we do know there will be situations in which the parent will not send their child back to school. So they would want to be on that program to finish out the school year. Maker's Mark. Yes, please. Is there a deadline for submitting the app? Okay, so we talked about that. Thank you, Casey. How do we get off the watch list? The way, my understanding, and I'm not the health person, my understanding is we have to see a slow down of cases is one of the avenues to get off the watch list. And then we have to have a significant ability to house people in the hospital that is tied to our county. So those are two things that they look at to make sure that they're seeing a reverse of what they're seeing right now, which is an increase in cases. If a positive COVID case, either teacher or student, occurred at the school, would we be notified of this? Not the name of the positive member, but that our child was exposed? If yes, how would we be notified and how soon after? So that's a great question that we have been told that the health department may notify the principal of the site that there is a case at their school, but they will not identify the student. They will not identify the grade level. They will not identify the classroom in which that child. Now, that doesn't mean that the parent won't tell us. Okay? If the parent tells us and gives us permission to notify, then we certainly would do that. But part of HIPAA is the inability for us to get that information and pass that information on. So at this particular point, I'd have to say the answer to that, unfortunately, is no. How soon after? If we did get notified, we would notify immediately if we knew. But again, I don't think we're going to know. How do we know when we are off the, we did that one. Oh, how do we know when we're off the watch list and we are notified? Are we notified? Absolutely. It'll be all over the news, right? This county went off, this county went on. Colusa made the national news that they have the highest rate in the state of California right now. They had a 21% increase in their COVID cases. Very small community, but they made national news. My brother who lives in Florida said, hey, where's Colusa compared to you? So I would expect that if we go off the watch list, we absolutely will be notified. How will special needs children receive attention? So there's two things I'd like to say here. One is that we're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place when it comes to meeting the needs of special ed students. Our special ed teachers will be reaching out to our special ed students, and I'm going to ask Ange to jump in here at some point, and making sure that we're meeting the needs of the students within the regular classroom and within the supports that we have in the learning center. Students who need to be tested, currently the rule is nobody gets to come in to get tested. That rule's changing. I believe by the end of this week, we will have the health department convinced that initials and triennial testing needs to take place in person. So what that would look like is a teacher behind a special ed teacher behind a plexiglass divider or speech teacher behind a plexiglass divider, student on the other side doing the testing. And would you like to add anything to that?
As far as the direct instruction on the primary side, the way that the schedule was built, the teachers, if they have goals in a certain area, the kids will log into the special ed teacher's Zoom class versus the general ed teacher's Zoom class at that particular point to get their direct instruction. On the junior high side, the special ed teachers will be teaching the appropriate coursework during the designated time slots. So those students will receive a schedule so that they know when they will receive their instruction.
So just kind of to piggyback on the next item on the agenda, one of the reasons I'm, probably the main reason that I am recommending that we move the start date is that that will push many of our days to the springtime. And if you listen to the experts, they're saying that there should be a vaccine available by December. Kids most likely will be able to come back to school in January, if not before. If we have pushed a week and a half, 2 weeks into the spring, that gives us that many more days with students in classroom, including special education students, that we will be able to pick up some of the places that have fallen off because of the distance learning. What are you planning to do packet pickup based off the August 31st opening? That is a fantastic question, and what I'm gonna tell you with that is that you will be receiving communication from the school sites on when that will happen. It might not be August 31st you get a packet, it might be you get it that Friday, but we have to work those kinks out because many of our staff don't come back until the week before, and some of our paras only come back for one day before. But we will certainly communicate that to all of our parents so that you know what that looks like. How will the virtual learning work on site for employees? So I'm not really sure. That's a very wide open question. Our teachers will be teaching from their classroom. They will be the only ones in the classroom. They will, we will have safety protocols in place for the classroom cleaning and all of that. We will also have safety protocols in place for any general space that they may enter the other teachers, for example, restrooms, those types of things. We have had employees working on our sites since April. I've been working the entire time on site. So we have been doing it with many of our classified employees, teachers. They have not worked on site yet, but they will be when we start the program. Do teachers and staff have to test for COVID before we return and during the COVID season? No, not at this point. In fact, my last understanding from the news that I've heard is that they're not even testing people anymore unless you have some sort of significant signs towards having COVID, because they're running low on tests. Now, that doesn't mean that your own doctor won't require that. Okay, question. If we choose home study for our child after school reopens, will we get help with teaching our child, like with the way to teach them math in a particular way? And will we have Google? Will we have to Google it and find out on our own? We will have staff available to help you through the process. Mr. Town will be the principal. You can reach out to him and say, I'm having troubles in this area, and he will get the help that you need if you're doing the home-based program.
And on the home-based program, there's also tutorials that go with the lessons. So those are built into the Edmentum program.
Thank you, Angie. Is there a document comparing home-based to distance learning that will be emailed before we have to decide? They are on the website. You can look at the document for home base. You can look at the document and the schedule for the distance learning plan. All you have to do is go to our website. It's on the front page. You click on it, and it brings it right up for you. So it is available currently. A single parent with a kid going into TK, 7-to-5 job, do I do homeschooling from 1800 to 2100 hours with teacher support? Okay, so I don't know what 1800 to 2100 hours is. So I'm assuming the evening. Sorry, I'm not military. So the teachers will not be required to work from 6 o'clock at night till 9 o'clock at night. If you are in that situation, my suggestion would be to sign up for the home-based independent study program. However, your child is TK, so you would have to sign up and take the kindergarten curriculum, because it is not available for TK, because TK is a California thing, not a nationwide thing. So, yeah, sorry, you that TK is TK and K is, I mean, let's be real. Distance learning for these 4 or 5 year olds is a mountain that's very hard to climb.
Yeah.
And we're doing what we can with the teachers doing a fantastic job, but it is computer based because there's no way to do it any other way. And there will be packets given out, but the teachers would not be available from 6 to 9 in the evening.
Sorry. This is Robbie. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. No, that was actually for kindergarten. Sorry.
Okay. So the kindergarten, you would, same thing. Teachers aren't available in the evening, but the kindergarten curriculum on the home-based independent study program can be done from 6 o'clock at night till 9 o'clock at night. It can be done on weekends. It can be done at various times throughout the day. And the reason we really went into this home-based program is for questions exactly like this. And you may have been the one I talked to via email, I'm not sure, but it is problematic for parents that work to supervise, especially the littles, right? Sixth through eighth grader can pretty much do it on their own. K, TK1, TKK1, a little more difficult for them. So the home-based independent study program would probably meet your needs. Will instructional videos for math, et cetera, be available for home study? So again, it's a program that has learning modules built in for all subject matters, and some is video-based, some is reading-based. It's based on grade levels. So what you have for a kindergarten may be very different than what you have for a fifth grader. So there will be some videos on there, and there'll be some other coaching models within that program. Is it correct that kindergarten is not required in the state of California? That is correct. TK and K is not a mandated grade. So parents, by choice, put their children in those programs. Most of us are ready to put our children in the programs by the time they get to that age, but it is not required. You will not have the truancy police coming after you if you choose not to have your child participate in kindergarten. But when they get to first grade age, then you would, it is a requirement. The other piece of that too is that we have had some parents who have said, I'm just going to put my kid in homeschool. Please understand that if you put your child in homeschool, you must register with the state as a school. You may not just disappear. There is federal guidelines called Child Find, and we will have to call you and find out why you're not in school. If you're living in our area, what are you doing for school? And this would be first grade and above. I read that if a child has a certain symptoms, they must take a COVID test prior to returning. My question is, if my child wakes up with a sore throat with no other symptoms, and the next day is fine with no sore throat, must the child still be tested before they are allowed to return? No. There is no requirement that a child be tested before they come to school. Currently, we're in distance learning, so it's certainly no right now. But when we come back to school, if nothing changes, your child's temperature will be taken when they get to school, and if they are 100.4 or above, you will be called to pick them up. If they are 100.3 or below, then they are not considered at risk. But that is only when we get back to school. Will speech sessions for students with an IEP fit into the schedule? So the answer is yes. The speech teachers will be working with all of their students to meet and go through all of the needs for the speech IEP. So the answer is yes. Will IEP sessions be conducted as long as we are on distance learning? Yes, but they will be virtual. So for example, if you have an IEP coming up at Bear River School, they will schedule that IEP. The principal, the nurse, the psychologist, all the people that are going to be involved will be involved, but it'll be similar to what you're seeing right here, because you will be on virtually and they will be on virtually to talk about the needs of the students. Did I get that right, Angela? Thank you. Can parents coordinate the teachers to work around parents' schedule? Can parents coordinate with teachers to work around parents' schedules to get homework if both parents work? I'm gonna say no. That doesn't mean that a teacher won't accommodate you, but they will not be directed to accommodate the time in which you need them. If it is up to them if they want to work on an individual basis with students or in some other manner. If that doesn't work for you, I would sign up for the home-based independent study program. Will you extend the second semester to compensate for the late start in August? Yes. So when we get to the next item, if we get to the next item, we will put up the calendar and I will show you how we have a requirement by state law to have 180 days of school. So for every day that we take off the front end, we must add somewhere, whether that's during a break that we had pre-scheduled or adding to June. So you will see that in the next item when we get there. If a parent errs on the side of caution and keeps a child home for 2 weeks just in case, will the absences be held against them? And can they make up the work? So the answer is no absences will be held against children for anything. We are not going to be sending out truancy unless you are just a no-show. If you communicate with the principal and the teachers regarding why your child is not involved, then you can work that out with them. The work would be able to make up. However, I'm going to back up for a second. That's only going to be when we're back in school, because right now a child can be quarantined and still participate in the distance learning program. So there's no reason for a child to be absent for quarantine under the distance learning model or the high home-based independent study program. Are teachers going to get to work from home? No. Teachers will be in their classroom teaching students as if the students are there. It is substantially equivalent to in-person instruction. So teachers will be coming to work every day and teaching from their classroom. There will be nobody else in their classroom. Unless they happen to have a para and they all agree with it, and you know, we go from there. When are they supposed to pick up their schedules? So
they'll get emails for their schedules. There won't be pickup this time.
Thank you. Same thing for the elementaries. How will they know who their teacher is? Jody first and then Mr. Town.
So it'll be released through Aries, and we have the date set. I want to say it's the 25th at noon that we would release it there. And then we will also be sending emails out just to follow up with that. And we will have our pickup day. I believe we have it set for the 26th with Bear River. And I think Mr. Town's doing the same thing, that our pickup days for packets and technology will be on the 26th. And we will have times for that. We will stagger it. We'll set, each school will send out their own stagger schedule for that.
Okay. Can
you they need to make sure they have everything online completed.
Please do your data confirmation and your easy meal form.
All right, next question. How will it work if your child was put into the mainstream math class a few weeks before school shut down and reverted back to special education class during online learning at that time? Will parents have the option on which class the child can take, mainstream or special education? That is going to be dependent on your IEP. You are a part of the IEP process. If your child is in a school and you are put into a class that you are not happy with, I would reach out to the administrator and ask for an IEP to be able to move them into the classroom, assuming they fit that, the classroom in which you would prefer that they be in for their needs. Ange, check me.
No, you did perfect.
Okay, thank you. What is the plan for children who struggle and usually do AI after school? So in the schedule, if you look at the schedule, we have time for intervention built in. And I will communicate with your teacher that these are the areas in which Johnny or Susie are struggling in. And then the teacher can make sure that they're involved in some of the interventions throughout the school day. We will not have an after-school program, obviously, because the after-school program is dependent on children attending, and we cannot do that currently. Once we are able to have children back at school, we will start the after-school program back up, which may or may not include AI, depending on the time of year that we are able to come back. Will home-based study be available as soon as school starts? Yes. Do we have an idea when we will know an official start date? Tonight. Is the wing commander knowledgeable of this agenda, and how will it accommodate dual military or both parents working on base? Annette, can you please answer this question? I think you're on here, Annette. Okay, so Annette was on here. She's the liaison. I guess she's not on anymore. So,
Annette, hit your space bar and it'll unmute you.
She's there.
Okay.
Annette, hit your space bar and it will unmute you.
You're still muted.
You have to hold it down.
I got it. It's just, and my finger keeps tapping it back as I unmute myself. I've already put together a spreadsheet and sent up some information through our chain of command. And I'm not exactly sure exactly what Colonel Fox is knowledgeable about, but we will make sure that she does get the information that she needs. I know she has been holding some Facebook Live programs and things like that. So that might be something that we can consider maybe going on and then kind of, you know, briefing her and everything like that so that she has it firsthand. But yes, I've sent up information. Any particulars though that I may need to stress to her, I can do that. Yes.
Thank you, Annette.
You're welcome. And if any families do want or have any other questions or anything like that, I work a lot with the district and we have a great partnership with the base and in between the schools as well. And I just want you guys to know we're doing the best we can. And I thank the district for, it's a lot of work. I hear from all the districts around and it's pretty tough. And I know it's super tough on parents and teachers as well, but most of all our kids. So just let me know, give me a call. Thank you.
Thanks for that, I appreciate that. And you, if you are military and you have any questions regarding Lone Tree School, please reach out to Jody Jacklin as the principal or Annette, and they will connect and get you the answers that you need. They may not be the answers that you want, but they will get you the answers that meet the needs of the school sites. How will AR work for elementary? Will parents be required to purchase specific test booklets or apps so our children can test on the books? I'm going to toss this one. Peter, maybe you could take this one.
Sure, I'd love to. A couple things. We're looking at a program called EPIC, in which the full textbooks are online and kids can read through their computer from the comfort of their own home. That is one of the avenues we're looking at. The other avenue we're looking at is when we have the packet distributions coming out from the teachers. A teacher could make a selection of several books in that child's reading range, send them home in the packets. Students could read them and bring them back. So we haven't quite solved all the details on AR, but we have a couple of real good options we're looking at.
Thank you, Mr. Talbot.
You got people waiting to get in.
Never ending.
Two people. Yeah. Okay, next question. I want to say thank you for going through the chat questions and answering them. I was part of another Zoom meeting held at the high school and it ended at exactly 7 p.m. and half the questions were never answered. So we all thank you. Of course, we want to make sure that we answer all questions. My phone, my email is always available. Please, please reach out if you have questions that we can answer for you. It looks like that is the last one. We have a thank you. And another thank you. And we appreciate all of you being here. We appreciate your interest in the subject. I would love to tell you that by some miracle, COVID went away and kids were back in school starting the first day of school, but we are gonna do what we can to make the education as good and rigorous and grade level. One more question. Okay, this is gonna be the last question because we gotta move on. So you are still starting late. Why not start school on time? So they haven't made the decision yet. I am recommending that we start late. The reason I'm recommending that we start late is we have a lot to get done between now and when school starts to make sure that we start this program off in a manner in which we are proud of and good for children and meets the mandates. We have teachers that need and are requesting professional development. And there is no way, in my opinion, that we can be ready to go by August 12th. I believe starting August 31st gives us the additional time, and I'm moving into number two, and this question is really about the calendar, but I believe that it is about time in school for children. It is not about necessarily matching vacations with others. It is really trying to push a good start, and then additional days will be moved to the spring so that we will have less distance learning and more classroom learning, assuming the experts are right and we should be back in school by January. Again, I am not sure the experts are right, but we are going to be pushing that envelope. So that was the last question, please, for the reopening plan. Again, reach out if you have questions. I answer emails at all hours of the night, so just reach out if you have questions. So that is the end of 3.1.
Does anyone from the board have any questions? Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion that we accept 3.1. I will second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So be it. Okay, now we'll move on to 3.2A.
Okay, so 3.2 action item is the recommendation to move the calendar to start date of August 31st. Nick, if you could please bring that up on the screen and share for those who have not seen it. Can the board members speak up? The board members will try to speak up and give their names as they speak, but I would also ask that you check your computer to make sure that your volume is up, because the reality of it is I've asked some people that have been on the previous Zooms and they're hearing the board members fine, but others are not. So please check your own devices as well.
This calendar right here? Is that what you want?
Yes, and the chair is on. All right, so I pretty much have, this is not the right calendar.
Nope. You want to be?
But it's close enough, put it up there. That's it, thank you. All right, so I pretty much explained our reasoning behind pushing the start date. The start date on the current calendar is August 12th. That is literally 2 weeks away, and will be problematic, in my opinion, to get everything up and going. We are asking to push the start date to August 31st with 5 days of staff development, teacher meetings, teacher collaboration, in order to make sure everybody is ready to go so that on August 31st we start a distance learning program and a home-based instructional program with vigor and making sure it works well. So what does it do to the calendar? What is the big change? So as you can tell, instead of starting on the 12th, we're talking about a 13-day difference to start. So we have to make those 13 days up somewhere. So where did we make them up? If you look in November, we used to have the whole week of Thanksgiving off. We would have those two as instructional days. Again, I will reiterate, if we are on distance learning in November, then you can do your distance learning from grandma's house if that's what you need to do. It should not interrupt your plans in a sense that those are available. We had a week off in February. If those of you that knew this, we used to have 3 weeks at Christmas, and that changed because the whole county changed. And so we put a week in February. 4 of those 6 days will now be in school. There will be no break in February. If you, again, have already made plans for that week, then you can do your distance learning from there, but hopefully we'll be back in school by February. There is one day at Christmas time. We had the 21st through the 4th off, which is the Monday in January, so students would be back on the 4th to make up that day. We had 6 days at spring break. We now have 5. We just took away the one Friday So students will still have the 5 days off at spring break. And then all of the holidays are obviously the same. Our original calendar was ending on June 3rd. This calendar would end on June 10th. 1 week difference. So that is the proposed calendar. Why is it only 1 week when we took 3 weeks off at the beginning? It's because we made it up in the middle. So if you would like to have a question about the calendar that has not been already asked, please put it on the chat.
This is Nikki Crabb. Can I just ask? So we're adding extra days, hopefully, in the classroom, just to simplify it.
Correct.
The extra week, I just want to publicly say I've talked to a lot of parents that have kids in both districts with the high school. And some a really good point I want to bring up is at the end, with if you have graduation or, you know, we have so many events at the end of school, you know, ready rallies, that kind of stuff. It's really hard sometimes for parents, both parents, sometimes they have to split up to get to these events. A lot of parents are very happy having that time to be able to focus on their high school kids and then be able to focus on their junior high school kids' activities towards the end. And I thought that was a great, great point. And I didn't come up with that point myself. And I, you know, and then, you know, I wanted to vocalize that. I thought that was something that I hadn't thought of. And I really like that we're putting more days in the classroom. I think socially, emotionally, that's going to be really great for our kids. And I'm hoping that we put it even sooner. But I just wanted to touch on that piece a little bit.
And I think one of the things to really understand too is that the high school's graduation is on June 4th and our kids would be getting out on June 10th. It's 4 days. 4 days in June difference. So it's not dramatic for June. There is some pieces in there I understand that may be a little bit less enjoyable for parents. Can you scroll up for a second? The other way. Down, I guess. So if you look at what that does, we would have 75 days before winter break. And if you listen to the experts saying that we should be able to be back in full in January, that gives us 105 of our 180 days in the spring with kids in the classroom. Can I guarantee it? Absolutely not. But it is worth the risk to have them in less distance learning and more classroom environment. So at this point, if you have a question about the calendar, please click on chat and we will try to read them. My volume is at 100% and I couldn't hear the board. I'm sorry about that. You're not having any problem hearing me. So I will ask if they speak that they will. So the mic's up here?
Yeah, we're here.
I've never heard anybody stand
quiet before. Okay. So last time this person heard Nikki, this time they had a problem. So I will try to Reader's Digest version what Nikki's point was. On the calendar, because the high school would graduate on June 4th, and we would go till June 10th. It was brought to her attention by some parents that they liked that, because right now, if they have a child in the high school and a child in elementary district, they miss out on some of the activities for both groups because we run our activities simultaneously. And so now you may not have been able to go to the Rennie Rally because it was the same day as something at the high school. And now, because we're the 4 days difference, the Rennie rallies would be in that second week of June after the high schools have graduated. So there should not be that tug on which place you go. It was a point brought up by a parent that had emailed her. So hopefully you got that. Any questions? I'm going to give it 30 more seconds. So with no questions, oh wait, saw something come up. Nope, just a thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll toss it back to the board at this point.
Okay, so any board comments or questions?
My only comment is that, the teachers have requested additional training. So, and in order to get that done, I think we need to help and give our teachers as much as we can give them support-wise to make it successful for kids. Because at the end of the day, it's about making the kids an environment that they can be successful in this terrible time. And, we need to give them all the tools that they've asked us for. And we need to give we need to give the superintendent support that he gets up. But our admin, the time to work within their teachers and to get everything ready. And it takes a lot of time. I knew just putting these plans together, watching how much time. So we need, if that's what the teachers and, staff needs to make it the best we can make it for kids, I think that's what we have to do. And at the end of the day, getting those kids in the classroom, hopefully those extra days for me, is the tipping point.
So there is one comment, and it says, let's give the teachers, I'm going to say teachers and staff, time to train and get things ready for the whole new way of teaching. I'm 100% for a later start date, and the hope to get the classroom and on campus is the most important. So again, getting students back to school in front of our teachers is our goal. We want that. We had that plan in place, and I went on vacation for a week and I came back and it had been tipped over because of the mandate. So it is something that we will be gearing towards. And so the one question came up today, which I think is worthy of quick discussion, not discussion, me telling you, is if we go off the state watch list or if we get the waiver, does that mean on Friday we're on distance learning and we got the waiver and on Monday we're starting? No. We have to give our staff the ability to convert from the distance learning into a in-classroom. Does it mean it's going to take a month? Absolutely not. Is it going to take a few days? Absolutely. They're going to have to gear back up to have students ready to come in the classroom. I feel like Gavin Newsom with my hands. So anyways, that's the plan. And again, I'll toss it back over to the board for the agenda item.
So any other board questions or comments? Do I have a motion?
I move that we accept the calendar.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Okay, we have one more item. I'm not sure it's going to be in the interest of a lot of people, but you're welcome to stay on. So if you can bring up the 45-day budget, it is actually some good news for finances, which will be helpful in trying to maneuver this new world that we're in. So this is a quick overview of the 2021 45-day budget presentation. We don't typically do this because there's never a significant difference in what we are told in May that our budget will look like and what we get in June. So we have to have our budget put together by June 15th. The government does not. So we are flying with the May revise information. What you will find, the difference between what the governor said in May and what was the actual adopted budget was a 10% cut to no cut and deferrals. So that changes the outlook of what you do. Does it change it to a significant amount? Yes, we're going to get money that we did not expect to get, but some of the money that we should be getting will be deferred for a minimum of 6 to 8 months. So, but because it's close to $1 million difference, we are going to do this quick 45-day budget presentation for those of you that are interested. And the board will have to adopt it. Okay, so next page. So no later than 40, this is what the Budget Act says, no later than 45 days after the governor signs the annual budget, the school district shall make available for public review any significant revisions in revenues and expenditures that it has made in its budget to reflect the funding made available by the Budget Act. The reason we haven't had to do this in the past is because it hasn't been significant and we're able to do it at first interim, which again, we'll still have first interim. Next. So what's the difference? In 2021, the original budget, we had budgeted receiving $11,045,536 from LCFF, and we are now going to receive $12 million, and you can read the numbers. So it's a difference of $975,000 that we're coming to the district. Now, hold on, don't get too excited because a lot of it is deferred, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Federal has not changed, there's no difference. Other state, I'll have an explanation for that 600,000, but that 600,000 is paper money. It is not money. It is turned around and taken back out in the expenditures. And I'll explain that on another slide. Other local has gone down a significant amount due to the federal, the state government's special ed funding was at $645 a student, and it dropped to $625 a student. So that is the change that you will see in the other local. What happens to our expenditures in the same time frame? We had budgeted $7,177,000 in certificated salaries. We are now projected to spend $7,015,000. There's $161,000 difference. I'll explain what that is on another slide. Classified salaries is a $43,000 difference. Again, I'll explain that. Employee benefits, there's a $570,000 increase. That is that, okay? So it's an on paper thing, and I'll explain that in the next slide as well. Books and supplies, it looks like we're gonna spend about $5,000 more. Services and other operating, $10,000 more. So $382,000 more on expenditures. Again, 570 of that is just like 600 is paper. So our original budget, we had $1.8 million deficit spending. This 45-day revision, we're down to 665,000 deficit spending. Still deficit spending, but not near at the area that was making me go bald. So this difference is $1.1 million of increased revenue that will be paid to us at some point. So go to the next slide. So I wanted to clear up what does deferrals look like. So hopefully you can see this, but in July, we should be receiving a payment of $503,735. Just the LCFF. That's the only thing we're talking about right now. We're not talking about federal money or anything like that. We get 5% of our money in July, August. So 503. Why do they give you less? Because you have less employees on the books in the summertime, right? So your classified people aren't on the books and so on and so forth. The next rest of the months, we get 9% of our money, which is about $906,000. So what is the federal government or state government doing? They're deferring 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 months of pay. So in February, when we're supposed to get 906,000, we're gonna get 503, which means they're gonna owe us 402 to be paid in 21-22, so they say. And then you can read the rest of these. These are all 3%. And in June, we're supposed to get 906,722, and we're getting none of it. And so that's 900, and that's the same thing that happened this June. So we're entitled to 10,074,691 of this LCFF money. We're getting just shy of 7 million, and they're deferring 3 million. So I don't know about most of you, but that's hard to make payroll and all that when we say, I'll pay you later. But we have plans in place to make that happen. So it is somewhat good news that we have that extra money coming in because it really helps offset this. Plus, when we originally made the budget, we were told by the state that it would be 100% deferred from February on. And that would have been in the tune of about $6 to $7 million of deferral. And we don't have that in the bank, so we would have had to go out to a loan to make that happen. So this is just for information purposes so you can see what deferrals do to a district. Next one, please. So the one that I told you is on paper, the 600,000 in, 570 out. When we originally did the budget, the state said STRS on behalf. STRS is the retirement system for teachers. On behalf is the money you have to put in as a revenue and take out as an expense, was not going to be part of the budget. Put it on hold for 2021. This is the way they help you budget, balance your budget. Unfortunately, when the budget came out, they backed off of that and said, now you have to keep it. So that's why it's been added in and taken out. Again, it's on paper only, but it's there to see that we have an income and an expense for the same thing. Other local, why? I explained that due to the change in special ed funding, our revenue has to decrease slightly. Next page. All right, so why did the certificate of salaries go down? We adjusted for some furlough days for administrators, and we removed a counselor that resigned, and we have not replaced them. We will not replace the counselor during distance learning, but we have every intention of replacing the counselor when students are back in school. Classified salaries, we made some adjustments for their agreement on some of the deferrals of money, freezing their step in column, furloughs, reduction of para time, reduction of library aides, adjusting staff. So one of the things that happened is when the budget, when Brenda was doing the spreadsheet on the budget, a couple lines got hidden. And so we had two employees that were not included in the total budget. So we had to re-add those in once they found that they were not in there. So that's problematic because it offsets some of these other other reductions. Employee benefits, again, because of agreed upon budget reductions, it lowers the STRS and all of that, but then the STRS on behalf, I've already explained. And materials and supplies, we had to adjust to correct the budgets for removing field trips from the budget. Next, that's it. So that's a quick view of what is happening with our budget in 45 days. We will still have the first interim coming forward in September. Any questions? I doubt there's going to be any Zoom questions, but if you have a question on chat you'd like to ask, please ask it.
There's an old question.
I can't go back and ask, but so I can. No, those were questions that we already answered.
Okay.
Oh, maybe not. Off-subject suggestions, sorry. Record all teacher training so it can be reviewed if a teacher is absent or needs a refresher. Okay. Sometimes that's possible. Sometimes that's not, based on the fact that sometimes we use outside presenters and they don't allow themselves to be recorded because they're selling their wares and they're not going to let you then turn around and use that. So what I got from this is a kindergarten is starting August 31st. And homeschooling somehow with a full-time job. Kindergarten is starting August 31st. We have two options, homeschool, home-based independent study, and the distance learning. If neither one of those fit your needs, you could apply to the state to become a homeschool for yourself, and you can do that. Unfortunately, I don't really have any other answers for that particular question. Any questions related to the budget, 45-day budget? Otherwise, I'm going to toss it back to the board for approval? Seeing none.
Okay. Any questions or comments from the board?
Sure, it looks a lot better.
Yeah, it's better than what we saw last night. Okay, do I have a motion?
I make a motion that we approve 3.3.3.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
So there was a question that popped up that's unrelated to the budget. Well, maybe it's not. Will the council be positioned to be refilled at some point? And the answer is yes. The plan is after we're back, when students are on campus, we will bring, it is the counselor at Wheatland Elementary. In the meantime, we have some of the videos and whatnot that Mrs. Link had put together. She's given us permission to use those for our distance learning program. Mrs. Stokes, who is a counselor out at Lone Tree, will be there available if need be. But when students come back, we will fill that position. Hope that answers the question. Other than that, I think we're done.
Adjourned.
So thank you all for joining and your questions. Bye, thank you.
Bye.
We're gonna end the meeting.